Hello and welcome to the Monocle Culture Show. I'm Robert Bound. On today's episode, we're getting into the festive spirit by rounding up this year's Christmas albums. Each winter, we're presented with a brand new smattering of covers and originals by a motley crew of pop stars, rock stars, and everyone in between. It's an onslaught of jazzy remixes, jingle bells, both the song and the instrument, and kitsch album covers featuring many of our much-loved and lesser-loved musicians, fireside or donning a Santa hat. This year's offering includes the likes of John Legend, Jesse J, The Monkees, and William Shatner. No doubt. And we'll be giving them a spin to see which ones are actually worth adding to your Christmas collection. Do we need any more seasonal music, or are we happy with the classics? I'll be joined by the chief rock and pop critic for The Times, Will Hodgkinson, and the broadcaster and DJ, Georgie Rogers. Georgie and Will, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Has the surfeit of Christmas albums, Christmas singles that we're going to be talking about today, and which you have researched thoroughly, thank you, has it got you into the Christmas spirit, or has it made you kind of reach for albums of a higher quality, Georgie?
Probably reach for albums of a higher quality.
Don't let me put words in your mouth.
Don't get me wrong.
A comprehension test, yeah. Although it has taken the form of one.
Don't get me wrong, I love a festive number.
Yeah.
But I'll just stick with the classics, innit?
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad, is it? We'll be coming on, actually, to wonder whether we should just be talking about singles or albums. Will, has this kind of pushed you kicking and screaming into the festive season?
To be honest with you, it has.
Good. Oh, phew. Finally.
Oh, God.
A non-humbug Hodgkinson.
No humbugs for me. I was very unfestive just because I've been, you know, working away and everything. Yeah. I haven't really thought about it. And it's just that it's that thing that it does to your brain, isn't it? You listen to five different versions of Silent Night, all of them exactly the same, and you can't help but feel festive.
Yeah, okay. And when we say festive, what does that mean? Are you imagining hanging the stocking on the mantelpiece on Christmas Eve, or are you just kind of thinking hangovers, or are you thinking, God, it's still quite a long way away, how am I going to get there?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that last year, me and my wife diligently packed the stockings full of all these different treats for the children.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I went in, you know, thinking that my son would be highly excited and we've been up since three with all the toys around him.
Yeah.
There he was, slumbering away. I woke him up, but then he grunted, felt this weight at the bottom of his bed, which is, of course, the stocking, booted it off, went back to sleep. I thought, how much longer do I have to keep doing this?
How old's your son?
Why, he is 17.
Well, just wait till he goes out drinking on Christmas Eve, and
that's going to be bad.
That's probably the thing, right?
Christmas is over.
That is it. So that's it for me.
Yeah. Oh man,
he's moving out.
So how can we get you into the Christmas spirit? I mean, what was the song? What was the thing that helped you get you into this Christmas spirit?
Well, it will
spirit?
Always be Christmas Time Is Here for me, because I think that's the Vince Guaraldi song,
yeah.
Which Croangbin did, which I think George is going to talk about. But it's just that song. There's some kind of, for me, Christmas is always lovely and magical, and it's always sad.
Yeah.
It's always when you see the family and there's always an argument, you know, by Boxing Day everyone hates each other and, you know, the whole thing falls apart. And yet, here we are, all looking forward to it very much. So, yeah, for me, Christmas Time Is Here captures that. It's very melancholic and yet beautiful.
We'll have a slice of that later on in the programme. Now, I asked you guys at the beginning, should we be talking about albums or singles? A Christmas album is a lot to wade through, unless we're talking maybe of Frank Sinatra's Christmas album, the Beach Boys' Christmas album, which is very good. Will's making a face.
A smiling face, not a bad face.
The album, you sort of put it on as background, didn't you, really? I don't know.
It's not like you sit down and listen.
No. It's
okay.
Not a kind of appointment to listen. It's more, it's the class. So you kind of want them to be doing some of the family favourites.
Okay.
So you can stick it on for your nan and mum and dad and whatever.
Yeah, this is the time for the album, because it's not, you know, you put the album on, you know, it's also traditional. So let's go back to CDs or vinyl.
Yeah.
Stick the record on. You know, you're not going to be making, well, I'm not going to be rifling through a Spotify playlist. And,
no.
You know, it's just when the turkey's going in the oven. You just stick the Christmas album on and, you know, all the old favourites pop up. Hopefully it's great.
So what happens is, on all these Christmas albums that we're going to be talking about today, everyone from Eric Clapton to John Legend to William Shatner, Some people might be asking why we're talking about William Shatner.
We need to talk about William Shatner.
He's
deserving of it.
He is the elephant in the room, I suppose, of any kind of odd album conversation, and especially when it comes to Christmas. I was going to talk about all sorts of different things. Having mentioned him so many times, should we just give our listeners a bit of a clip? This is from an album. William Shatner's Christmas album is called Shatner Claus.
Best title ever.
Of course
ever.
It is.
It features Rick Wakeman, Iggy Pop, Henry Rollins, and Todd Rundgren. Amazing people.
It's got all the greats.
Proper amazing people on it.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit of Little Drummer Boy.
I have no gift to bring. Ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. That's fit to give up.
With a distinct air of Father Christmas rolling over in his sleep. That was William Shatner with Little Drummer Boy. Better or worse, though, than Bing and Bowie?
Well, I mean, for my money, this album is fantastic.
It is
and
really
I
good.
Am going to be putting this on at Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, he's got a rich heritage. Have you heard his version of Mr. Tambourine Man? It is subliminal.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leonard Nimoy and he were kind of vying to do the most mad psychedelic cover version. But, you know, so they did a version of Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds and all these kind of crazy records, which go right back to the 60s. So Shatner's actually got a bit of game in this. And I love it because there's something quite scary about it.
Yeah. It's kind not of creepy, just, isn't
it's
it?
It's kind of creepy. It's not just kitsch. And, you know, you have Iggy Pop groaning away. You've got Henry Rollins on a very manic version of, I believe, Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Silent Night with Iggy Pop, of all people.
It's pretty nuts.
It's great.
And there's a video for the one with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Mm.
Oh, I forget which track it is, but I was watching the video the other day and it's a joyous thing. It's real. There's William Shatner reading to a load of kids and then it just turns into like a Christmas dance party and there's actual reindeers and everyone as break dancers and he busts out of his Christmas jumper into a gold jacket and it's all very... It's just fun.
It's really good.
It's silly. It's not serious.
Because I've always wanted to get to the bottom of William Shatner's records and his singing career. Because it is... There is a lot of strange dislocation. It's kind of something of avant-garde theatre to it. But also it's kind of crooner meets avant-garde theatre.
He knows what's going on.
It's a bit like...
But I'd say I'd add another element into the mix there, which is that he's listening to quite cool music, like psychedelic music, and he's taking a little bit of that too. So to me, it seems like he's in... It's not exactly a joke, because I think he likes it, but he's self-aware.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not, in a way, it's deliberately kitsch, but there's some little hipster undertow to the whole thing. In the old-fashioned hipster, you know, the kind of beat humour to it all.
Should we go on to kind of smoother, poppier territory now? John Legend? A Legendary Christmas?
Oh. John Legend.
Each album so far has name-checked in a comedic way the singer's surname.
Well, listening to this album reminded me of walking into a shopping mall when they've just put up all the tinsel, and there's that car revolving around and there's some guy coming up to you and trying to sell it to you or at least make you, you know, enter a lottery. It was the soundtrack to that.
Okay.
In other words, incredibly smooth, rather, you know, sort of appealing in a very, very surface way, but somehow quite devastating at the same time.
Should we have a little bit of this?
Yeah.
George, I feel like with those words, we have to kind of hear it, hear the proof of the pudding. This is John Legend and he's duetting here with no less than Stevie Wonder. Does Stevie rescue John here? Does John need rescuing?
Let's take Stevie out of here. But I just, it left me cold watching and listening to some of this John Legend stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, also, he is arguably wearing the worst Christmas jumper. He has an array of the worst Christmas jumpers ever created in the...
It's a hotly contested...
I was going to say, yeah.
There's a mustard yellow chunky knit. Mustard yellow should never be on a Christmas jumper. I don't know. It's kind of just so shiny and shimmery that it just doesn't have any kind of...
I completely agree.
So there's a funny thing where you go...
Shopping
we go
balls.
From...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there is something of the kind of inbuilt 5 p.m. hangover of this somehow. Do you know what I mean? Where you just got... Oh, wish it was Christmas Eve still. There's a bit of a sense of that.
Yeah, right? But it's also a bit Christmas in LA, you know, where there's just palm trees and the sun is shining and everyone's driving around in expensive cars. It feels very, for me, it's so super shiny as to actually be rather depressing.
Yeah.
Is there, because the funny thing is with this, is it's trying to be kitsch. And it's
too smooth to be kitsch.
But it's not quite. And it's the funny thing where it is very Fromage, isn't it? Someone's left the Camembert out in the California sun. But there's a funny thing where you can be William Shatner and you do this, and it is genuinely quite odd, but heartwarmingly so. If actually sometimes pushing the needle into the redness of odd on the odometer. With John Legend, it's kind of trying to be kitsch and super friendly and looking you in the eyes and being lovely, but somehow being stranger and more creepy than William Shatner doing kind of sort of like Christmas carols with kids, right? Yeah. I don't know why this is. What is it, because of the shininess of it? Is it because it's a sort of...
It's purely commercial. Okay. Yeah. I mean, William Shatner's got a... He knows that he's not going to sell that much, and he's completely aware that there's a... not exactly an in-joke, but there's a certain sense of the absurd. Whereas this, yeah, he might be kind of winking at the camera a little bit, but ultimately, this is to shift units. That's what he's doing it for.
Okay.
This is a punt for, you know, the quintessential Christmas. Because you can make a lot of money. Isn't it about £500,000 a year for, like,
Christmas
the
number
Pogues
one.
Or Last Christmas Wham? They rack in about something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
£500,000. I'd say. Shameless punt for the Christmas number one.
Big money in it.
Okay. He should be winking at the camera rather than purely smiling at it, is what we're saying.
He's obviously kind of incredibly talented. Like, John Legend is incredibly talented. He's got an amazing voice. But, yeah, this just... It honestly just left me so cold. I felt nothing.
Bloody legend. not in a good way.
I was out in the cold, in the wintry cold.
I'd rather have Shatner myself.
Quote of the show.
Oh, God. Should we hear a cut now? This is Jessie J. So a kind of a modern pop star, but with a kind of old-fashioned pop star vibe. Definitely a good singer. This is her singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Don't know if you're familiar with that.
Rudolph with your nose so bright, you can ride with me tonight. The snow.
That was Jessie J with singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells. It's a medley, which was somewhat like doing a handbrake turn in the middle of the M6. Seems like it would have one of those videos where people hold their headphones somehow and giggle at each other.
I think there's going to be some children involved. To me, it's a warning to parents if you're thinking about sending your child to stage school and making them go down a musical theatre route. It's fine, go for it. But this will be the result.
Hodgkinson there with a knowing nod. Okay, this is a strange one. Jessie J kind of... am I right in thinking she hasn't been around for a while and she's coming back with this?
This is the thing. We were sort of saying before we came in that she wasn't really getting anywhere here, and so she went to China, as you do.
Okay.
And basically enlisted on one of their kind of X Factor singing talent contest voice type things over there, and then won it. And then all these videos viral, no, of her covering Whitney and Mariah. And I mean, there is absolutely no doubt about it. The girl can sing. You know, she has got an amazing voice, technically. And she was just hitting all these covers, like note perfect on Mariah and Whitney kind of level of high notes. And now she's big in China.
Okay.
Like massive in China, off the back of it.
And so she can sing there. What are we thinking? I mean, it sounds very well. Everything at the front kind of very well produced. She's Boys to Men are on this, Babyface is on this. So some serious kind of pop credentials and harmonising credentials.
Yeah, she knows her way around a cover, does Jessie J. Actually, The White Christmas, she kind of nails that one.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very shiny, shimmery pop.
There's no shortage of vibrato, put it that way.
Yeah.
I think we were all kind of miming that when we were listening to that clip.
It's quite theatre.
Yeah, it's very theatre. So you're right. It's a warning shot across the bows for anyone who's going to send their kids to stage school, right? Very well put, by Will. One of the things in all of these albums that I wanted to just talk about quickly before we move on to Engelbert Humperdinck, who else, is the idea of the medley. And we listened to that with Jessie J's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells mashup. It's on the Clapton album. It's on lots of things, I think. I suppose there's all sorts of Christmas songs that you want to get in one. You want to kind of mix up your styles or something. Should people beware the medley, I wonder?
Well, I'm not a medley fan.
No.
I'd rather they just played the song, because we all know the songs and we like them. And, you know, if you're going to hear, I don't know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or whatever it is, it's quite nice to get to the end of it.
Yeah. It is quite
a full Rudolph just mean, experience.
Enjoy it. Do you mean enjoy it to the end or get to the end of it?
It's only 3 minutes. You know, it's not that much to concentrate to get through.
It's a strange thing.
I know
though,
none of us have got concentration spans, but surely we could do that while we're, you know.
If you're really feeling it, if you're really feeling a track and then suddenly it's like,
it's annoying, isn't it?
It's a bit much.
I was enjoying that.
Should we roll out Engelbert Humperdinck? His Christmas album is called Warmest Christmas Wishes. Which is like the sign-off to a company-wide Christmas card. Anyway, here he is with the Christmas of the family.
It's crisp and white, Father Christmas is on his way. His sleigh is probably filled with things for you on Christmas Day.
Okay, that was Engelbert Humperdinck from the album Warmest Christmas Wishes. All the staff at Raynham Steel or some such corporation. And that was a Christmas for the family. So far, my favourite. What do we think?
Well, it's Engelbert Humperdinck, and obviously we can't be very rude about him. So because, you know, he's Engelbert. It's just absolutely straight down the line. You know, he's a crooner. He sings very well. Personally, I found it a little bit too unbearably schmaltzy.
Okay.
But having said that, it's kind of hard to criticise because, of course, he knows what he's doing. And, of course, being the kind of guy he is and the voice he's got, he's made for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's no irony on this. Does there need when you're called Engelbert Humperdinck, does there need to be any
choice?
And
you've got the Christmas album with the knitwear and the kind of L.A. tan.
Yeah, perfect combination.
And the smile and the blingy white teeth.
Yeah.
Does there need to be this? Was that the question?
I said, does there need to be irony in an album like this when you are him and everyone kind of knows, everyone gets the package?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is straight down the line.
We're single, but we know what we're getting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed this. Because it's for its kind of straight down the line, why take the mickey out of the genre? I just actually quite like these songs. I'm going to do it as well as I can. It seems so horrible to say that we should kind of have a go at that.
And also,
I quite liked it.
Do you know what, Rob? I think probably by the time it gets to about 8 o'clock in the evening, everyone's knackered on Christmas Day, and you've had enough. And there's a huge pile of washing up, which no one wants to do.
Yeah,
you could put this album on, and everyone could kind of sink into a coma, and it'd be quite nice.
Okay.
And he also does "Driving Home for Christmas" on there.
Yeah,
which I think is one of the greatest Christmas songs of all
time. Lovely. Yeah.
And that always for me, like whenever I'm occasionally listening to Magic FM on the way home, and it comes, I think it's on every half hour. That's at that point, just on Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve Eve, so that you have that moment of I'm driving home for Christmas.
It's really nice, isn't it?
So yeah, he does that all right.
Engelbert puts us in an eternal sense of drive time.
It's not quite as good as the original, but it'll do.
Okay. He's not as gruff, is he? Rough around the edges.
No.
There's nothing gruff about Engelbert.
No, he's not. No, exactly.
You're not going to get him to change the wheel of a truck, let's face it.
No, he's not going to.
Definitely not.
God, I'd love to see it. Engelbert.
Changing a tyre.
It's a whole new reality strand.
Yeah.
Him and Jesse J.
Okay, well, let's just splash straight in. The Monkees came back a couple of years ago. Here they do it again at Christmas time.
Here they know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Meli Kaliki Maka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
That was the Monkees with Meli Kaliki Maka, which Holly on the script has spelt for me phonetically despite our recent trip to Hawaii. Thank you. What do we think of this?
Well, personally, I was disappointed because the Monkees, okay, everyone knows the story of the Monkees, created band to rival the Beatles, but then they did amazing things. They did this album called Head and the film, which is absolutely incredible. It's a masterpiece. And then they developed, and Mike Neesmith did the amazing folk rock in the 70s. And not so long ago, only a few years ago, they got back together and did a fantastic album. So I was kind of expecting more. And actually, this is just cheesy, you know, cheesy versions of Christmas songs, which, let's face it, there's no shortage of. And so they weren't really, for me, bringing anything new to the table. And also, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, I think, is a total travesty. And, you know, it was bad enough first
the
time.
The most controversial Christmas song of all time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Not so wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah.
No.
Is this going on your turntable at Christmas, Georgie?
No.
Okay.
Sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Yeah,
I didn't like it. I didn't like that.
It's the album
is too forced, isn't it?
Yeah.
The album's weird. It's very flatly produced. It's kind of it really sounds like it was done in the back of a van or something.
It knocked it out.
Yeah, it's a real knockout job. It's a funny one. It's a bit of a shame for the Monkees. We've got one album to talk about. We're heading into the more indie and experimental, some would say high quality area, or at least well-reviewed area of Christmas albums. This is Aidan Moffat, who was Arab Strap, was one of the founders of Arab Strap, am I right?
Yep.
And this is called A Ghost Story for Christmas.
Angels sing above, but you can hear them now. You won't hear them on your own.
That was Aidan Moffat and R.M. Hubbard with A Ghost Story for Christmas, the title track of an album of the same name. We're in very different territory here. Will, talk us through this one.
Well, this is really a spoken word tale. It's on the kind of folky spectrum. It is, if you listen to the story, it's a little bit tragic. And it really falls into, I'm not putting it, you know, I don't think it's as good as it, but it's kind of fairy tale of New York territory.
Yeah.
So it's just really, it's trying to capture the strange emotions that you get at Christmas, as opposed to just doing a Christmas song, which is, you know, escapist and just there to make everyone feel good. So I admired it. I really like it. I think he's got a, you know, he's got that kind of very resonant voice. It's very, there's something quite dour about it. It's quite rainy, but also, you know, there's something quite warming about the whole thing.
There's some beautiful lyrics in it as well. It's a really wonderful song.
Sonically, it sounds a bit like Bill Ryder Jones's new stuff, new album. Mm. Stuff.
Yes, which is great.
It's got
album.
That kind of really great album. It's got that kind of melancholy, like you say, dour, but beautiful.
We're awash in a beautiful Scottish loch.
Yeah.
Somehow with this.
Yeah.
I
quite like the Christmas alt misery, to be honest.
I like the Christmas misery because it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Because if you feel, if you're hearing this, oh, John Legend and all these people, they just, everything's perfect, and you're not feeling that way, it can alienate you.
Yeah.
So it's actually good to have a bit of reality.
We missed out Eric Clapton in our rundown. Let's have a bit of Away in a Manger and Once in Royal David City. It's another medley. Eric.
Now little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Mary was and mother mine. Jesus Christ, a little.
What on earth do we make of Eric Clapton's Christmas album called Happy Xmas?
I think
does
I'm into
this,
it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Eric Clapton could sing or play a car manual and he'd still do it with feeling, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Really. I mean, he's so experienced.
Sort of Watts' guide to fixing an Austin Anglia.
Great recording voice.
I really like this. Well, I thought your judgment is out, or is it back in and it's...
I must admit, I don't like it. I mean, there's the cover, which does look like... It's a shame this is radio, because the cover artwork looks like it's done by an alcoholic Santa while he's stuck in the drunk tank. And he's doing a self-portrait. Just go, oh, I think I've got it. It's so bad. And I was thinking, what is Clappers going... What's going on here?
Yeah, what is... There is an element... It's really weird. I mean, there is an element of knocked-outedness. But actually, the music's quite good. There's some good playing on it. And it's
really
weird.
He's Clapton. I mean, you know, he does know his way around a guitar. You know, we know that. But
this is the man who did Have You Ever Loved a Woman and Cocaine. Is he... What is happening? What happens to the legacy? On a serious note, what happens to the legacy of a wonderful, great career being... once nicknamed God, and then this happens.
I get the feeling he doesn't really care anymore.
Okay.
He's just kind of bashing. I mean, having said that, like Georgie said, he's singing very in tune.
Yeah.
And there is actually quite, as you'd expect, there's quite a lot of blues. There's a Freddie King cover version of Christmas Tears.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you'd expect. So he's kind of doing what Eric Clapton should be doing if he's making a Christmas album. But I would rather he didn't.
Okay, so that's albums ticked off. Many of them. We've heard some choice cuts from some of the albums. Before the end of the show, we've got three singles to play. One that we've all name-checked because we really love. Krang Bwin. This is Christmas Time Is Here. Well, we all love that. We're all kind of getting down to that. It's good stuff. You could put that on any time of Christmas, any time of the day, and it would be a lovely thing to have on,
yeah.
I think. Does someone want to fill us in briefly on Krang Bwin? Because they kind of sound like who they aren't, possibly.
Yeah, they're a Texan trio, and they just make this kind of incredibly blissed out, psychedelia, bluesy. I mean, it's just got everything in it, really. Hmm. They released an album this year called Conto del Mundo, which is amazing. And that's very much in that style of musically. It's in that, it's the same sort of vibe. But this is them, yeah, this is them taking on Vince Guaraldi's classic Christmas Time, which you will know from the Charlie Brown Christmas. And to great effect, I think. I plan on booking a last-minute flight somewhere exotic for January, and this is the sort of Christmas record, I think, that I'd be listening to.
Will you be kind of listening to this at 35,000 feet, staring out over the clouds?
Yeah.
It's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. I saw them at a festival this summer in, it was when the heat wave was happening, and it was a lunchtime set at Field Day, I believe, and it was just dreamy.
Yeah.
They really do. They kind of, they have this glorious sound together, and they looks super cool, and her vocals are just gorgeous. So I like what they've done with this.
Good vibes, good clothes. Three of them.
Very good clothes.
Look good together on the stage.
Good fringes.
Fringe. She's got good fringe action.
Good one, Krangbin. Let's have a go at Sufjan Stevens. This is Lowly Man of Winter.
Christmas is coming up with theories on air. Is it the lonely man of Christmas hiding in the devil's abyss? Oh, I would rate the future if I could put a finger on it.
What do you make of that? Some expert picking from Sufjan Stevens.
Spoonful. Mm. This is a track that's been around for a while. And I mean, Sufjan Stevens is no stranger to the old Christmas. He did a run of EPs between 2001 and 2006. And in terms of like alt Christmas vibes, he's pretty good at it. And this was like a song exchange that he did with a fan, I believe. And so this song's been around for a while, but he's done a proper release of it, done a proper recording of it, and now it's being released. But I think it's gorgeous.
It's rather nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. He was, in a way, I kind of think of him as the original alternative indie Christmas boy. You know, he was doing it before it became the thing that everyone seemed to do. So he did it. He does it really well. And I used to think that Sufjan Stevens was, for me, that it was a little bit too twee, but then he did the amazing album, Carrie and Lowell. It's all about his mother and her problems and everything. Yeah. And I thought, no, it's really deep. It's just he's using this very musical approach, you know. So it's a kind of gentle approach to actually do things which, you know, have got some kind of power behind them. And this is just a Christmas song, but again, it's got that feel.
We're going to end the show with White Horses. This is Next Year Will Be Mine. Right? I don't know. I'm not the professional. Will Hodgkinson. That sounds great to me.
Well, we're back into the pure glam Slade Wizard 1970s Christmas pop song. That's what we're doing here. You know, and that's clearly what they're doing. And they're, you know, White Horses are, I guess you'd call them a Manchester psychedelic pop collective. Did some very, very good festival appearances this summer. And this is a natural fit for them. You know, they would have grown up loving Merry Christmas and, you know, all the other big Christmas songs, which are, you know, just glittery and stompy and
fun.
There's
Shangri-Las and there's all sorts of stuff in there, right? There's a lot of kind of like Ronnie Spector in there. There's all sorts of lovely
stuff. Yeah, there's also, it's nothing to do with, there's no religious element whatsoever. As there was no religious element in, you know, Merry Christmas Everybody. That was, you see, Merry Christmas Everybody, you've got to remember, came out in 73. And that was the Winter of Discontent. And, you know, a terrible year when there'd been all the power shortages and everything else. And Slade's idea was to cheer everyone up. It was just like, come on, everyone, let's have some fun. It's, you know, as long as we're together. And this year's been pretty hard for a lot of people, I'd argue. And this has got the same feel. You know, it's got that kind of thing of if we get together, we'll have a good time.
Some high-pitched hijinks and escapism.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Georgie Rogers echoes those thoughts. Okay, so we're gonna allow you to take one away. What's gonna be starting you off on Christmas Day? What are you gonna be doing your last minute wrapping, lighting some candles, pouring yourself a sneaky 11 AM sherry to? Georgie.
Krangbin as I book a holiday to potentially Mexico.
Okay.
White Horses as I panic that my divorced parents are both coming over for Christmas. And my dad, not only is he a very strict vegetarian, but he doesn't eat onions or garlic. So we're going to have to try and work out what to give him. Yeah, it's quite extreme. So that would be, I'll be there with a, you know, with a glass of sherry, listening to White Horses, and then segueing into some 70s classics.
Perfect. And the Hodgkinson and the Rogers Christmases will be happy ones, no doubt. Thank you both very much indeed to Georgie Rogers and Will Hodgkinson, and of course to my producer, Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time next week when we'll be discussing something less festive but certainly timely. Middle England, the new novel by Jonathan Coe, a Brexit book for our ages, supposedly. But for the time being, from me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.